Where? And? Close? Love? And, hey, okay, sure. Right, we're getting there. All right, and then last week was all about passing on the gospel message to the next generation. Remember that last week? And we should be people of Christ. Close enough, grace. Hey, remember when that guy walks into your door with a shotgun, you should be gracious to him and leave the golf club and just preach the gospel to him at that point in time. Remember that. Hey, we should be people of grace because we have received grace from God and we need to pass on that knowledge to the next generation. But also apply this principle in your business life, in your family life. If you know how to stand down a table properly, please teach that to the next generation. You know, and so forth. Today, because we have discovered what grace is all about and we understand the gospel, today we're going to look at the practical implications of how to spread the gospel in our modern day world. And so verse 3 starts with that. Excuse me. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Remember, the emphasis of this text is to spread the gospel message. And so maybe if you're new to the faith and you read this soldier of Jesus Christ and suffering, it has a very uneasy feeling with you. Because why suffer and why this whole soldier thing? Friends, regardless of whether you're a Christian or not, we can all agree that suffering happens in this world. And when we become a Christian, yes, we become a Christian and we get told that your life is going to change. Things will get better. And there's some truth in that. But it doesn't mean that all the suffering is just going to disappear by a drop of a hat. God is still good. He is good all the time. But we know how bad we are and how much work He's got to do in order to change this world and make it a better place. So Christian or not, we all experience suffering. But we're all at different stages in terms of our spiritual growth. Some of us have just come to faith, and we still see a lot of the bad things that cause pain and suffering in this world, in our own lives, and in the lives of others. But some of us have grown closer to Jesus, and you can see it a mile away, and those people are probably the reason why you're sitting here today, where they kind of breathe God's goodness. You could see it a mile away. And it was irresistible. So suffering still happens. You have good people in this world, and you've got bad people in this world, and you've got people on the journey. So being a Christian or not won't change the suffering. God will. And so today, when we look at this verse and Paul says you need to join with him in suffering, it's something that's quite natural. It happens anyway. But his suffering has got something different in mind, the gospel message in mind. He says that we're going to suffer anyway, but we're also going to suffer when we're trying to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And he gives us three ways that that's going to happen. As a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And I'm going to try and bring those things into our modern day context. We can approach suffering like a soldier, where we put on the armor of God, as seen in Ephesians chapter 6, and we go and battle the evil in this world, even at great personal cost. We lay down our lives, dying for the sake of the gospel, like Stephen did in the New Testament, the book of Acts, or like many other Christians have done since then. You might say, hey, but that's not for me. That's okay. Because you would know when that kind of thing is for you. When you've got to go out there and spread the gospel, even at the cost of your own life, nobody will be able to stop you. That conviction will be so strong that we can preach, it's okay, you can stay here. You go, I'm going. Going into deepest, darkest Durban North. There are dark places in Durban North, we all know that. The graveyard. Hey, Matt. Hey. 2 o'clock in the morning, eh? Whenever you guys decided to run through the graveyard and fall into a grave when you were kids. But there are darker and dodgier places than that in Durban North. And when God calls you to go and preach the gospel there, we won't be able to stop you. You'll go with passion. You might die. but that'll be okay with you. But sharing the gospel doesn't always lead to physical death. It leads to emotional, relational, and even material death, where you and I fight against the evil in this world by standing up for someone at work, and the response we get is not what we prayed for. All of a sudden, we move from being a soldier for the good news to a victim of evil, where people slander us, backstab us, and hurt us deeply. Friends, quite frankly, I would rather suffer for doing good in this world with God by my side than go it alone. Because at least as Christians, we know that the one that we believe in fully understands the evil in this world. He completely comprehends it with his experience on the cross. And that's why Paul says he counts his sufferings, being treated like an absolute criminal, being chained and eventually killed for the gospel's sake. He considers these things as completely insignificant in light of the gospel, in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But that doesn't always help, eh? Because our suffering is real. Sometimes it hurts, and it hurts incredibly. Where we even struggle with these words, that when we look at our suffering and we look at the suffering of Christ, we struggle with that because we are so clouded by our own suffering at the moment. And what's wonderful is Jesus doesn't come to us and say, "Hey, but just get over yourself, get up and let's go." He doesn't do that. Notice how he treats Mary when Lazarus died. He doesn't come to her and say, "Come on, Mary, let's get up and let's just carry on with life. It's okay, you'll see him one day." He doesn't do that at all. He gets down on his knees next to her. And with absolute gentleness and compassion, he weeps with her. He understands her suffering completely. And so if that's you today, you're like, "Yes, Jan, I know I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel. I know I'm supposed to be going out there as a soldier for Jesus and fight the evil in this world with good, but I am suffering right now." That's okay. It's okay. Come to the feet of Jesus. Come and share your heart with him. Weep with him. And allow him to restore you again. Allow him to pick you up when you're ready. And then go. And share with the world like Mary did about the risen Jesus Christ and his power, his compassion and his love. And that's why ministries like Grief Share is so important. And hopefully soon we can start that here. But maybe the suffering that you're going through isn't somebody else's fault. It's your own. And that's what this text deals with this morning, specifically in verse 4. It says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." In our modern day context, we need to ask ourselves this question: have we ever stepped into a fight that's not ours? Have I ever stepped into a fight that's not mine? Whereas a soldier of Jesus Christ and his gospel, we have become so involved in civilian affairs that this doesn't just move our focus away from spreading the gospel, but we've ended up getting hurt because we've gone rogue. Using a few military analogies, I'm going to carry on later on. But we've left our mission, which our commander-in-chief has given to us to go and do. We've gone on our own mission, and we get hurt along the way. In a modern day context, you and I as Christians don't have to share our opinion online and in our community about every cultural issue. Jesus can fight those battles. We don't need to say anything. All we need to do is be people of grace in that moment. Where people throw stones at each other, let us rather go, "Hey, just love people, man. God will sort that out one day. We're all going to stand in front of him." We don't need to give our opinion on every cultural issue, online or in our community. Because friends, quite frankly, it's in those opinions that we get hurt. where the world turns against us because they don't understand. They don't understand the gospel of love. They don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we throw Jesus' stones into a cultural issue, they don't get it. Of course they're going to think that you're weird and like out of date and old-fashioned. No, we're not. We just think what the Word says is true. And it's good for godliness and for life. And we want to follow that. But we need to become wise in terms of our fights. We need to ask ourselves this question: is this my fight? Should I give my 2 cents worth? Or is this God's? We spend so much of our time and our energy on stuff online in our community that I believe sometimes we've got nothing left for our own families, let alone for God. And so as soldiers of Christ, we need to be very wise. As the text says, avoid godless chatter. Facebook newsfeed is filled with godless chatter. Oh my goodness. I have unfollowed so many people in the last 6 months. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't want to see this. Unfollow. I'll still be your friend, but I don't want to see the junk that you post. And I'm not going to engage in some of the conversations that you're trying to lure me into because I don't see any internal worth in them. Friends, be wise about the fights that we battle. Always ask ourselves this question: has God called me into this battle? If not, let go. Let God fight it. He will do it. He said it in His Word that He'll use the rocks to fight His battles and spread the gospel, even if we don't. But He wants us to, but let's be wise about where we get involved and what we say. If you don't like the whole fighting for the good, you know, if you're not wired that way and you like running, then maybe the analogy of an athlete will help you in dealing with suffering while you present the gospel in this world. You can approach suffering like an athlete, where we come here as often as humanly possible to services, Bible studies, courses. We do our devotions diligently. And we train ourselves and feed our souls with godly food that do not perish and fade away so that we can run this race with endurance to the end. Don't know about you, but what's the point in training if you're just going to watch somebody else run? Eh? That's just silly, isn't it? You go to gym, you work out, you run up and down McCurtain Avenue 4 times a day. Hey? For those who've run up McCurtain Avenue, once a day I think should be fine. Hey? It's quite a hill. But what's the point in going through all that training, making sure that you eat all the right stuff, just to watch somebody else run, the comrades, or just anything in life? There's no point of us in us just coming here, week in, week out, getting trained and fed, and we pay Paul to go into the Durban City Center to preach the gospel. You go run, run, Paul, run. Hey? We're just going to sit here and train every week, in and out, and never get involved in spreading the gospel. Come on, pick up the phone and call Paul and say, hey, can I come jump on a ship with you? And just observe, maybe, for the first while, how you share the gospel with people. Because I want to get into this race. I want to help other people run. I want to participate in sharing the gospel. And so friends, yes, let's train and nourish our souls with God's word, but let's ensure that we also have the right coaches in our lives to kind of help us, you know, go around that bend with the right emphasis and right speed so we can get to the finish line. But also the right teammates around us going, hey, but keep running. Come, let's go. Don't take a tea break right now. We're in it to win it. Let's go. Because friends, even if we're running, especially in South Africa, you're going to find some potholes and open manholes every now and then. And you need a friend. You need a coach to guide you in sharing the gospel and sometimes getting yourself out of a ditch. and go, hey, yeah, that's a long drop, but let's get you out of there. And let's keep going. Let's keep going. Keep growing. Keep running until we obtain the heavenly prize. Just in case you're like me, I hate running. I'll cycle for days. But the park run, I walk. And then James goes, Daddy, this pram isn't going fast enough. And then Belinda laughs at me because I run for about a kilometer and then I'm like, can't I just get a bicycle and still do my park run with a bike? Still get my 300 points? And the marshal's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, let's just keep running. I hate running. But I'm okay with fighting. And I'm okay with farming. Hey? And that's why the next analogy is there. Friends, we need to farm as well. Like, huh? Where's Hudson? Is he gone? Is James here? Any other babies? He's in there. He's sleeping, probably. Okay. No. Okay, I'm not going to fetch him. But anyway, you'll get the analogy. I'm James's farmer at the moment. I'm cultivating his little life, making sure that the soil of his heart is fertile. Yes, I'm giving him food, and I'm planting seeds into his heart, but also into his life. Giving him nourishment and guiding him so that hopefully one day, instead of being this little IT that really turns my heart around and makes me do backflips, hopefully one day that young man can become a man of God. Because I've taken this text very seriously. I've built and I've cultivated into his life good, godly principles so that one day he can bear fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, joy, and so forth. And so friends, if you don't like running, let's start cultivating a church, a home, a life that is fruitful, that is fertile, so that when we plant the godliness of God into people's lives, it grows. And like we said this morning, we also have a responsibility to protect that individual, that person, especially when they're young in the faith, kind of help them and guide them along the path until they're strong enough to take on life's battles by themselves and also help others do the same. So we've got to get this right too. As a church, let's start farming. It's not like literal farming. Let's start farming into people's spiritual lives and help them become part of the heavenly crop one day. Oh, friends, the harvest won't walk itself into the barn. We have to help people find Jesus. And whether you want to do it as a soldier, with that bulletproof vest, you know, the chest plate, shield of faith, you want to do it that way, and you want to go into this world and going, destroy all the corruption in South Africa, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to be behind you. You can go fight those guys while we farm. But if God's laid that on your heart, go. If you love running, why don't we start a parkrun Durban North Community Church Club, like some of the churches do, and they go run together on a Saturday morning, and they have coffee together, and they just share life together, and they invite their non-Christian friends to a very non-intimidating church event, parkrun. Or park walk in my case. I'll walk with you until James says, run, Daddy, run. And then I'll run and I'll huff and I'll puff. The one thing all three of these analogies has in common is all three of them teach us that we've got to persevere to the end in sharing the gospel with this world. We can't stop, friends. God wants us to share with his world, this world, his good news. And whether it's at work, at home, or on the beachfront, let's do it. Because someone did it for us. And we just want to share God's love with others. As soldiers, excuse me, we must trust our commanding officer when he calls us to go and do something. And may it be our desire to please him at all costs. As athletes, may we nourish and train ourselves in the word of truth so that we can complete our race, but also help others do the same. As farmers, let us work as hard as we possibly can to build some good, godly principles into the lives of the people close to us, this church and beyond. And as the text says, do your best at all times. Do your best to share the gospel at all times. But what happens when we fall? What happens when we get wounded in the battle, or we tear a hamstring, or the storms of this world just come and wreck your entire harvest, all of your fields, your entire farm? What do you do then? When you feel shattered and completely faithless? Oh friends, the good news is, the word said this morning that even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Even when we are wounded in battle and we hurt and we've got a torn hamstring and we don't want to run anymore, God is faithful and He'll come next to us and say, that was a big hit. Look at that hole in your chest. But come, let's go. He might patch you up miraculously in the moment. You're like, no. You know, like Iron Man, you get your suit. And all of a sudden you've got a new funky tech heart. And you go and you fight the evil in this world again. Or He patches up that hamstring and straps you up like a really good coach. Says, hey, next time you run, just pace yourself. Jan, pace yourself. So that you can finish that park run all the way. Or as a farmer, He just comes as the good shepherd. And He comes and helps you restore your life. If you're a wounded soldier, God is the only commander that left His throne to come down into battle and come and walk with us. He's the only coach that will strap you up. He's the good shepherd that will guide you and restore you. So even when you're suffering and you don't feel like sharing the gospel, you feel absolutely faithless, remember that God is faithful to us even when we've dropped the ball. He will do anything and everything to ensure that His good news reaches the far ends of the earth. And so, if He has equipped you and wired you to be a soldier, go and soldier on. Go and fight the evil in this world. But do it as people of grace. And be very wise in terms of which battles you're engaged in. Ensure that it's a battle of God and not a battle of Jan. It's a battle of Jan, you will get wounded along the way. You might get wounded seriously, where you just want to sit down and say, okay, somebody else can go fight that battle, I'm done. Oh friends, allow God to lead you in battle if that's how you're wired. If you want to keep running for God, follow your coach's guidance every step of the way, and you will finish this race, you'll finish it well. Where others write eulogies about you, helping them run their race in the most glorifying way. And if you're into farming, you like planting stuff and helping people grow, well, allow God to guide you in that way and become part of this church team that helps other people grow so that we all can share in the heavenly harvest. We can all win the battle for God, finish the race, and hear these words, well done, good and faithful, soldier, athlete, farmer, whatever it is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can stand here today and hear from Your word again. We want to pray specifically for those who have been wounded in the battle, those with torn hamstrings and farms just destroyed by the storms of this world. Oh Lord, would You come to us like You came to Mary and so many others in Scripture. May You come and comfort us and guide us back up onto our feet. Restore our broken hearts and lead us again into the way of everlasting life. We also want to ask for Your guidance, Lord. If you have called us to be the soldiers of the good news, help us and guide us as we go into battle for you. May we follow your wisdom and your direction only, and not go rogue on our own mission. But let us walk with God as Enoch did. Help us run this race called life with endurance, keeping our eyes on the heavenly prize, following the guidance of our coach and even the wisdom of our teammates. And help us all, Lord, to run this race well into eternal life. But we also ask you for guidance as we try and help grow, cultivate, and nourish this church to be your light in this world, to feed Durban North with the fruits of the Spirit, and so much more. We need your help, Lord. Be life and love and grace in and through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.